Bible that didn't have the Psalms would not be a complete Bible. And the Psalms, without this Psalm here, Psalm 34, would not be a complete book of Psalms. This Psalm is one of the favorite Psalms of the book because it is a great Psalm for us when we're in trouble. Psalm 34 is a Psalm that honors God. In fact, you'll notice that the noun Lord shows up in 16 of the 22 verses. Only 6 verses do not name God, but those verses do refer to God. In the superscription, we see who wrote the psalm and the situation that existed when it was written. Psalm 34 is written by David, and the background of it is 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15. You see, David had pretended to be insane because he was afraid of Achish. The name Abimelech that occurs in the superscription was the royal title of a Philistine king, much like Pharaoh was a title for an Egyptian king, or Caesar, a Roman king. Achish was the actual name of the king involved in the backdrop of the psalm. David pretended to be insane, and as a result, he escaped. And in the aftermath of that ordeal, he wrote Psalm 34. And we see a message of God's people should continually praise God and fear God because God delivers his faithful people from all their troubles. No matter what troubles God's people are in, the circumstances surrounding the troubles always give an opportunity for praise because they're the very opportunities which enable us to see God's powerful deliverance from troubles. You'll carefully notice that it is repeated multiple times that God will deliver from all troubles. So we see in that first part there that those who desire deliverance from all troubles offer praise to the Lord. Look at verses 1 through 3. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You see, he begins verse 1 by saying that he will bless the Lord at all times continually. Let us remember that when he wrote that psalm, Saul was determined to put David to death. David had hoped that he would find a safe refuge in Achish, but he did not find that refuge. In fact, he ended up hiding in caves and dens. We cannot help but admire David's commitment to God and to the worship of God. No matter what he personally experienced, he continued to praise God, and we shall see with good reason. Troubled times are wonderful times to worship God and praise God. In fact, when we find ourselves in trouble, we should immediately strive to praise and worship God. In verse 2, we learn that David would not only praise the Lord, but he would also boast in the Lord. And in the backdrop of the story, David had outfoxed Achish, but he was not boasting in the fact that his shrewdness saved him. He's boasting in the fact that God had saved him. We can and we should do everything by way of preparation, but we should always realize that victory and success comes from God. David did not boast in his ability to outthink or outsmart Achish. In fact, his thoughts were given to him by God. David boasted in the Lord. Charles Spurgeon used to say, sometimes when I hear people give testimony, all they want to do is boast in themselves or in their foolish former way of life. What they ought to be doing is boasting in God. According to the last part of verse 2, David believed that those who were humble, not proud, will join him in praising God and magnifying God and exalting God. People who are right with God are humble people. Notice at the end of verse 3 that the worship is corporate as well as individual. In other words, humble people who exalt God gather together for worship. And people who are right with God have a passion to magnify and exalt God, especially when they learned that one faithful like David had been delivered by God. This was an expectation David had concerning people he knew. Then we see here that those who desire deliverance from all troubles seek the Lord and seek deliverance from the Lord. Look at verses 4 through 7. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. David sought the Lord, and God answered and delivered him from all his fears and from all his troubles. David expected those right with God to do the same thing. The pronoun they of verse 5 refers to faithful people who humbly look to the Lord in the midst of their trials and troubles. We must remark here that in order for God's deliverance to come to his faithful people, he expects that his people will seek him for that deliverance. And when God's people find themselves in trouble, God wants his people coming to him in prayer. When we find ourselves alone in trouble, we need to get ourselves alone with God. Those who do that may have the following expectations. They will see many answers to prayer. They will have deliverance from all their fears. They will have a radiance, a bright, bold, free look in the midst of troubles. They will not be ashamed. One who looks to God will not be ashamed. They will have deliverance from all troubles. Those that are poor in spirit, they're not proud. They will have personal protection from God, and Jesus Christ and angels do that, and they will be personally rescued by God. All of these benefits come to one who seeks the Lord in times of trouble. And then we see a part here where those who desire deliverance from all troubles must try the Lord and fear the Lord. Look at verses 8 through 10. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Those are great verses. When David says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good," he's personally challenging faithful people of God to put this matter of going to God in times of trouble to test. In other words, he wants people to see whether or not if they go to God and totally rely on God in moments of trouble, God will deliver them and bless them. David wanted every troubled believer to experience this firsthand. You have to taste something before you know how good it is. Those who fear God and take refuge in him will be blessed by God and will have no want of any good thing. David challenges faithful people to try depending on God and see for yourself. See if this does not turn out to be true. Fear God and seek God when in trouble, and see whether or not good things in life happen to you. But then we see a part that those who desire deliverance from all troubles must live life with a fear of the Lord. Look at verses 11 through 22. "Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." David was a famous warrior, musician, and politician. We may notice that he was not interested in instructing people in the ways of war, music, or politics, but he was interested in instructing people into a fear of the Lord. David gave instruction, and he expected people to listen to him. He believed that the teaching of God's word was the most important thing. And in verse 11, he makes that point clear. It's important to see that in order for people to fear the Lord, they must be taught. Fearing the Lord requires careful teaching from God's word. Now, there are three things that we see that develop here. What a man who fears the Lord may expect in life. The man who fears the Lord can expect to live a full life and a long life. The word life in Hebrew is plural, which refers to life at an excellent or majestic level. If a person wants to live life in it to its fullest and have it last the longest, he must fear the Lord. What a man who fears the Lord must do in life. We see one who fears the Lord must carefully guard his speech. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." One who fears God is careful about what he says. There will be integrity in speech. Speech will be true and not deceptive. And the tongue is a good readout of the heart. And then one who fears the Lord must continually turn away from evil. One who fears God would continually stay away and turn away from evil people, places, and things. And one who fears the Lord must continually turn to good. It's not enough to stop doing evil, but one who fears God will start pursuing good. You think about that and how somebody turns from something evil. It's a turning to something good. One who fears the Lord must pursue peace. It's not a peace at any cost. It's a peaceful pursuit that first is interested in being at peace with God and then with others in a way that is consistent with the fear of the Lord. What a man who fears the Lord will receive in life. One who fears the Lord receives God's attention. One who fears the Lord receives answers to prayers. One who fears the Lord receives protection from evil enemies. You see, God gives special protection to those who fear him, and he specifically targets those who are evil and eliminates them. One who fears the Lord receives deliverance from all troubles. Now, don't miss that promise. One who fears the Lord will be delivered out of all their troubles. One who fears the Lord receives special emotional help when hurting. There's a great value in having a broken heart. It receives special attention and ministry from God. It makes one very acceptable to God. It brings a reviving from God. It brings a healing from God. One who fears God can expect God to do some amazing things when one is emotionally hurting. And one who fears the Lord receives complete deliverance from all their afflictions. It's a look at those things there in the that verse. Righteous people will have many as opposed to few afflictions. And righteous people will have complete and total deliverance from all those afflictions. You see, one who fears the Lord receives complete protection. This verse is a prophetic prediction there in verse 20 of how God would watch over and keep track of even the bones when Jesus would die. It's also a wonderful promise about how God will protect his people and carefully watch over them. One who fears the Lord will see hateful enemies destroyed. God will demolish the enemies of those who fear him. Evildoers will be punished by God. And one who fears the Lord will see both temporal and eternal redemption. This is a great verse for salvation. No one who takes their refuge in God will be condemned. So let's say this another way. Anyone who will trust totally and only in Jesus Christ to save their soul will be saved. And we have some principles here. Come to church and worship and praise God as often as you can. Pray to God and ask God for his help and deliverance. Fear the Lord and respond to conviction and make necessary changes. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.